Well, today we're finishing our series called The Blessing of God. How many of you are learning something from this series? What is the word blessing? Another translation of a blessing. What is that? What is it? Happy, happiness, right? What else? But do you know that God desires to bless His people? Do you know that Jesus came not only to die for your sins, but He also came to bless, return your blessing? God wants you to be blessed. The first thing God did in the book of Genesis, after He created Adam and Eve, He blessed them. He says, be fruitful, multiply. So blessing is fruitfulness. Blessing is multiplication. It's when Jesus takes five bread and two fish and blesses it, and it feeds 20,000 people. And it happens twice. It's when Jesus takes water and turns it into wine. What does that? It's the blessing of God. You know, you cannot live life to the fullest without a blessing of God. Listen, I want to just tell you that I have two places in my life where I see when one blessing of God and another where I have to work for it. And let me tell you this. Living a life with the blessing of God is 1,000 times better and easier. Now, it doesn't mean that the trouble is not the same. It's about the same in the blessing and without a blessing. The life you go through is about the same in the blessing and without a blessing. But the thing about blessing is that for some reason, it's like a snowball that keeps rolling down the hill. Blessing of God makes your ride easier. It doesn't mean there's no bumps. You have bumps going up the hill and you have bumps going down the hill. But guess what? It's easier down the hill. It's like a wind beneath your wings type thing. It's like a wind blowing not against your ship, but it's blowing behind your ship. That's what a blessing of God is. And so God desires for you to be blessed. Amen? Blessing, T.G. Jakes says, is an ability to succeed over adversity. Last week we said it's like a cat thrown from the third story building, landing on its feet. That's what a blessing is. Everybody goes through problems. A blessed person and a wicked will go through problems. The problem is this. The wicked person will land on his back, thrown from the third story building. The blessed person will land on his feet. Now there's exceptions. I know you probably know some. We're not talking about exceptions. Because about 99% of the time, the Word of God will do what it says. But that 1%, God is still sovereign and He can do whatever He wants. We're not talking about God's part. We're talking about our part. It's not for us to decide what God is going to do, whatever He chooses to do, like an act of hurricane or earthquake or whatever else that is in the hands of God. We can only do what He told us to do. Amen? We can take control of what He told us to take control of. Amen? So today we're going through part three. Last week we started with the three don'ts of a blessing. Can you tell me three simple don'ts of a blessing? Blessed is the man. You know the word blessed here in Hebrew is happy. Let me read to you from a Hebrew a rabbi. Let me read to you what Hebrew rabbi said. Now, Jesus read rabbis and He studied rabbis, so I'm not committing a heresy here by reading what rabbis say, you know. So I'm going to, but my ultimate goal is Jesus still. So listen to what He says. Happy is the man. The word happy in Hebrew is asrei. It's always used in plural. Not singular. Plural. Okay? The reason being that a man is not called happy for one good thing which is found in him, or for one piece of good luck which falls on him, but for many good things which are found in him and fall upon him. Happy is he. So when God said to Adam and Eve, and God blessed them, could we use the word happy there? How do we say that? And God made them happy or happied them? Can we do that? And God happied them and said, be happy and multiply. And see, blessing is not just financial. It's not just spiritual. It's an ability to enjoy life. Yesterday, if some of you follow me on Facebook, I dedicated a whole day to boredom. Because I know on Saturdays, people sometimes are bored and looking for trouble. And I said, boredom is an American curse. Because we have so much stuff, we have so many things, we have so much material blessings. And I know the poverty, the media tells us that so many people live in poverty. But have you studied what the poverty line actually is? It's 40,000 a year. In 40,000 a year in a third world country, you're a millionaire. You got a car, you got a house, you got a servant with it. That's what 40,000 a year is going to do. So to say that we are 40,000 and we're still poor, I don't think so. I think you're blessed. I think the nation is blessed. The people are blessed. I know it takes a foreigner to say that, but we are blessed. I've grew up in poverty. I know what it's like. This is not it. This is rich. Even in prison, I've spent a few hours in jail once. and not that I wasn't a Christian. I just forgot to pay my ticket. And like, I thought, they give you a month grace period. But no, next day they were at my house knocking at my door at 8 in the morning. Still freaks me out when somebody knocks on my door at 8 in the morning. I'm like, did I forget to pay a ticket or something? And we ate sandwiches and they gave us, They gave us fruits and they gave us sandwiches and they, whatever. So that was a good time and no, not good time, but don't go there. Don't go there. But compared to the whole world, America is a rich country. You know what verse come to me to describe America today? And I am American too, so don't look at me. Although I have an accent, but many in America have accent now. So, right? You got Spanish accent. You got slang accent. You got Southern. You got ghetto. You got rich. You got everything. You got all kinds of accents. But anyway, the verse that reminds me of America, guys, if we could put this up, it's Ecclesiastes 6:2. And we've read every time, every Sunday I preached on this message, we read this verse. This is a cool verse, and this describes us. A man to whom God has given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he lacks nothing. Most people in our nation lack nothing. Now, if they spend money on drugs, we're not talking about them. They spend money on booze, we're not talking about him, right? But in general, a man to whom God gives riches, honor, wealth and honor, so that he lacks nothing for himself of all that he desires. Have you ever went to the gas station and desired something you couldn't have? Probably not. You could buy yourself any candy bar you want, right? You could buy any beverage in the thing you want, right? So pretty much our basic desires, if we wanted them, they're met. But listen to this. Yet God does not give him power to eat of it. But a foreigner consumes it. This is vanity, is an evil affliction. That's what a life is without blessing. And the more as a nation we turn away from God, that's what we're going to experience. We're going to have everything still. But we're not going to be able to enjoy it. And you know what? People don't commit suicide because they don't have much. But that they can't enjoy it. People don't begin cutting themselves and doing crazy things because they don't have food to eat. No. Most of us have so much to eat. But the reason we do it, because we're missing something more important. I said, if you love your coffee sweet, and somebody gave you a cup of coffee that didn't have sugar, and you drink it and it's bitter to you, right? That's what a life is without a blessing. You don't want that. It's like a steak that has no seasoning. I like my steak with A1, right? How many of you like that? No? All right. And when you get a steak and everything is perfect, but it doesn't have any seasoning or doesn't have any A1 sauce, it's like, I don't want a steak anymore. And that's what's happening in a lot of us in our life. Because we kind of, like Esau, have forsaken God's blessing and ran after material things and ran after the flesh. And then when we got the flesh, we forgot that something else was missing. And God, above everything, wants to bless your life. And I'm not talking that God wants to make you millionaire or a billionaire or a famous actor or singer or or give you power and authority. No, no, no. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be full of life. John 10:10 says this: a thief comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. But I have come to give you life to the fullest. He came to return a blessing into your life. I know you could pass this message through you. You could make it be a part of you, and you can live it, and you could protect the blessing. You can make the blessing flow in your life, or you can abandon it. And you can say, I'll just, like Esau, I got my soup, you know, and I'm happy. Amen. So Bible says that blessing is happiness. Number two, verse 2 actually. Blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord. Now, what does it mean to delight in the law of the Lord? And what do we in our culture delight in? Guys, what makes, not us, but what make guys in the world delight in something? What do we delight in? Let me give you the description. Let me give you a description of what delight means. A high degree of gratification, extreme satisfaction. Guys, what do people in the world delight in? What brings them satisfaction? Football, money, food, women, half-dressed women especially, makes us go, right? Christian on Christian, don't act like you don't know this. This is true for everybody. Now, what makes women delight? Men, okay. Being able to seduce a guy, right? With their looks. Money, okay. What else? Shopping, food, the chocolate cake, you know. What delights us? What brings us pleasure? What brings us great satisfaction? Okay? So, the word delight here, God says, through David here, listen to me, and it's interesting, why would you use the word delight? Let me ask you a question before I put it all together. I'm giving you puzzles, and we're going to put it together. How many of you ever were forced to sin? How many of you ever was forced, like somebody brought a bottle, Jesse, open your mouth, and just started, drink, I said, drink. How many ever was forced to sin? Nobody forces us to sin. Why do we do it? Because we delight in it. See, that's why he uses that word. But the thing about sin, that it brings delight in the beginning and then destroys you at the end. But see, God says, I want you to look at His word the same way you look at pleasures of the world. I want you to delight in them. The reason you sin, because you like it. The reason I sin, because I like it. It makes me feel good in the beginning. God says the same thing. I don't want you to just read my word like it's just some words. And no, he says, I want you to fall in love with it. You know, as a pastor, I hear a lot of stories. And I visit people and I hear stories. And I hear stories of people who delight in the world and the type of life that they live. I've been in a house where the walls were, holes were in the walls everywhere. I've been in the houses where windows are broken. And not because the criminals were coming in, but because of what was happening on the inside. I've been in a house where you could see somebody broke that sheetrock with their body. Right? That's delighting in the world. And God says, if you delight in me, there's going to be different results. So blessed is the man who delights in the law of God. You know that most families are broken for one biggest reason. Is money, somebody said here. Money. You know that a lot of families, a lot of fights in marriages are about money. And you know what? It's not that we don't make enough money or don't have enough money. is just sometimes we become so greedy for things we can't afford. You don't have to activate every credit card that comes to your house. You don't have to refinance your home to get a big screen TV. The little one will do for now. And you know what? I was like you. So I was stupid before. Now I'm not. And what I did was, I was in debt. Tanya and I were in debt. And Tanya loves credit cards. And so we were in debt. We were over $50,000 in debt. Not because of Tanya, no. It's just, you know, you can't let anybody talk you into this stuff. Because that's how the world does it. You want it now? Come to Best Buy. You can have it today. You can have that MacBook Pro today. You can pay it later. You know, and so the world has its own ways, but the ways of the world entrap you. And guess what we're fighting about? Money. Not because we don't make enough money, but because we have to pay everything we make. And you know, the computer broke already. It's not working anymore. And you're still paying for it. And you're mad because Lord, have mercy. And then we read scripture in the Bible that we read before. It says this: owe no man anything but to love him. And a borrower is a slave to the lender. And that's how we were feeling. We were feeling, nobody, we weren't slaves. Nobody was going to come to our house and take our children for ransom, you know, till we pay back. No, it doesn't happen like that in America. It did happen in the days of woman of Zarephath and Elijah. They were going to take our sons. They were going to be, and I was telling my kids this story. And I said, you know what? This woman, her husband borrowed money, and now he died, and she had to pay it back. Or otherwise, what they would do, they would take a little girl, and they would make her a slave to some family. And she would have to work, child labor, to pay off. And they don't have her best interest. So it's like a Cinderella type story. The two sisters are doing whatever they do, and Cinderella is scrubbing floors. Amen? And so what happens is, when we disobey the word of God, when we start borrowing money for things we really don't need, eventually we become slaves. And we start fighting. And we start gnashing our teeth. And we start being angry. And marriages break up. Because of what? Because of money. Not because we don't have enough money, but because we don't use them well. And so we read this scripture and we said, God, we don't want to be in debt. We don't want to owe no man anything but to love him. And so we started following, and it was hard. You know what temptation Satan gives you? He wants you. Let me tell you, the system of this world wants you to be trapped in it. The bankers want you to trap you with that. I heard, this is crazy, I heard somebody borrowed $1,000 from one of these loan sharks, and they were paying $300+ a month. 200% interest. That's a trap. And people do it. No, they're not fools. Listen to me. First, it starts small. You're not doing it but then you train yourself to live, right? On debt. All you do is debt. You cannot live without debt. You train yourself. And before you know it, you're paying 200%. Some of you maybe done that, and I'm sorry. But I still have to tell you the truth. And maybe if you've done it, you probably hate that system so much, you would say, if you could, you'd stand up right now and yell and say, don't borrow any money. I bet you you would. And the Bible, and then we started getting out of debt. And eventually we got out of debt. And then the money that we used to pay back to the banks, now we were able to save. And before you know it, my savings account started being existent. Before I had a line of credit that was negative 5,000. After that, it started building. $1,000. Yes. Dave Ramsey plan, you know. $1,000. Okay. Let's go next step. And before you know it, we're not fighting about money so much anymore. So much. You see what I mean? Guys, I want to paint a picture for you. Imagine your job, the way you make money right now. You don't ever get a raise for the rest of your life, which is probably never going to happen. You will get raises. But you don't have any debt. How would you feel? Free. You would feel free. So see, it's not about making more money. It's about taking what God has given you and being a wise steward. Some people said, I can't give a tithe to God because I live on 110% of my income. Well, that's a problem then. See, God knows why He told you to give a tithe. It's to help you. Because if you realize that you could live on 90% of your income, guess what you're going to realize? And Satan doesn't want you to know this. You can live on 80% of your income. You can live on 60% of your income. And give 10%, give away another 10%, save 20%. Yeah, you could. Some of you look at me like, I don't make enough. No. It's not how much you make. It's how much you borrow. It's how much in debt you are. And God says, and if you delight in the word of the Lord, you'll realize, wow. And you know what? At first, I wasn't delighting in this scripture. Who would? You know, you're in debt. You're barely making it. And now you have to pay off your debt quick. But when I paid it off and started seeing my savings account go up, I started delighting in the law of the Lord. It started bringing me pleasure. I said, God, I thank you that you led me, so I did it your way. Your law is amazing. Many people think in a world that the law of God is to entrap you, is to make you a slave. No, opposite of the law of God is to make you a slave. I wrote, Tanya and I sat down yesterday, and I had an idea to write 10 commandments for kids from parents. Not God, 10 commandments, parents, 10 commandments. And so we wrote 10 commandments. Can I read them to you? All right. First commandment, eat your vegetables. Okay. Second commandment, don't talk to strangers. Third commandment, wipe, flush, and wash. Okay. Don't play on the street. I can't read my writing. Oh, don't put anything into electrical outlets. Don't touch the stove or the fireplace. Be nice to your sister. Share your toys. Clean your room. Okay. Don't go on the street and play on the street. 10th commandment. Well, my dogs, we had two dogs, amazing dogs. Some of you know my dogs. Aren't they awesome? One is Eddie. They were awesome. They're in heaven now with Jesus. I don't know. But we had two awesome dogs. One was a collie and one was a pure German shepherd. And we paid big money for them. And so we took care of them for about a year. And one day, one dog decided to disobey one of my commandments for him. I said, no running in the street, Eddie. No. And he didn't listen to me. And as he was running in the street, a truck came in and slightly tapped him on the side. And Eddie was gone. It's sad. But see, a lot of people would say, well, my children maybe would say that. Your commandments, Dad, are so we don't have any fun. What am I supposed to do now? I won't have any fun if I don't go and walk around on a highway. I won't have any fun, Dad. You know, Angie's doing it. You know, well, Angie doesn't live on a highway. She lives on a regular small street. That's the difference. People don't go 65 miles, 70 miles per hour by her house, right? So we give commandments. Why? So we can protect. The reason God's laws are there so they can protect you, your family, your children, your wife, your husband, your possessions, your everything. Amen? So when we look at God's law that way, that it's there to protect us, we will delight in it. And the older we grow, I wasn't delightful in the law of God in the beginning. But the older I get and I see people and I see myself who do things God's way, eventually turn out to be on top. And people, and today, not that people don't do things God's way, they do things both ways. They one foot in the world and one foot
in the church or in the law of God. And guess what that produces? Double-mindedness. That's what is double-mindedness in a psychological terms? Schizophrenia? You bipolar. Spiritually speaking, you bipolar. You're doing it two ways. And now you're confused. Your flesh wants to go here. Your mind wants to go here. And I think a lot of people today don't even know what it is to walk and live for Jesus. They have a romantic idea. You know how some politicians sometimes create utopia ideas? Like if we took everybody's money and put it in one bucket, and I would start, and then you give it to me, and then I'll give equally to everybody. You know, like communism, right? You know, then everybody will be equal and happy. Whole bunch of crap, because you took half of the money and half you gave to the friend, to your friends, and the rest of people are starving. You see what I mean? It just and some of us have that romanticized idea about Jesus that I could do a little bit here and a little bit here. No. It's time. God is calling you. We're beginning a new year pretty soon, and God is calling you to do it either His way or the world way. You remember in Scripture it says, I want you to be, you're neither hot nor cold. Oh, if you were hot or cold, it'd be all right. But because you're warm, I will spit you out. Imagine Jesus pulling out and spitting you out. Amen? So if, do it God's way. That's my call to you. I believe Holy Spirit is calling you and saying, you're at the end of the year. Start this year already, today, and do it God's way. So blessing comes from delighting on the law of the Lord. Amen? The law of God is a balance point in your life. Let me explain to you. When you build a house, you need to build it. You can't build it without one tool. Doesn't matter how good of a construction person you are, how good of a carpenter you are, you cannot build a house without one tool. Can anybody tell me what it is? Level, right? All right. I need two people. I need two girls to come here because Tanya, take one board, but don't like use your hand hard on it because you'll get a sliver. I need another one. Can I have from here? All right, thank you. All right, Andre, please stand here. All right. No, stand over there. Thank you. Can you grab this? All right. I want you to find a level, even perfect level point, because your house is going to be built on it, by just holding it with your hands. Use your ability to horizontal. Yep. Nope, not like that, like this. Yeah, Tanya, like this. Yep. Find the perfect balance, okay? All right. So Andre is going to come and check and see, and don't move it, okay? I want you to close your eyes when he puts a level on top of it, okay? And we're going to check and see if they're level, okay? Because it's very important. Because some people build their life by what they see. Some people build their life not based on a level, but what they think is right. And a lot of times what we think is right is wrong. That's why contractors don't rely upon their own eyes to build a house. Doesn't matter how good of a contractor is, he still puts a level to everything. Amen? Andre, let's check. Close your eyes. All right. Put it on top and see if... Okay, she's way off. She's way off. Okay, so now we got a level right about there. So see, she wasn't right. Imagine if she built a house on this. It would be like a what's the tower called? Leaning tower. Yeah, Pisa, whatever. Good. All right, put it down. Thank you. She did good though. Give her a hand. Okay, let's see how Tanya is doing. Wow, Tanya is pretty level, but she's still off. Yep, pretty close right there. All right, good, Tanya. Wow, you had it pretty good. But it wasn't perfect, right? All right. So the reason Bible says delight, you build your life, because you're all building your life. You're builders of your life. Your words are builders of your life. Your actions are builders of your life. Cause and effect, right? Whatever you sow, you will reap. So you are all builders. Now, many people say, I don't need a simple tool like this. I can do it on my own. And that's pride. That's what Esau said. I don't need the blessing of God. I am a skillful hunter. I can kill any deer there is. Amen. He was good, but he rejected great. And you know what? If you're riding a boat and you're just 1 degree off, in 30 miles, you'll be a mile off from your course. And before you know it, you'll be so off, you'll be lost. And God says, delight in my word, because my word is a level. How, let's say a husband sits here on this and a wife sits here. How do you build a marriage without a level? She says, this is right. And he says, this is right. How do you build a life? I use this example. You can't build a life with two different codes. I study psychology and I was in school for counseling and stuff. And they said, you got to find a partner who will be compatible to you socially. Because otherwise, if you're socially not the same, it's going to be a problem. Then your religion is a big one. Because nothing separates people like religion. And if a person is a believer and another one is not a believer, then it's darkness and light. How can they exist? They can't. When light comes, darkness flees, or usually the opposite way happens. And so God says, build your house as a wise builder.